Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life. This show is brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host tonight, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.org. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.org. Our guest tonight is Doreen Malloy. If any time during the show you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. Doreen is a certified medium with Forever Family Foundation, and many of our listeners will recognize her as the host of Mediums and Messages on Signs of Life Radio. Doreen will be interviewed as our guest tonight and will not be taking calls for readings during the show. So now that we've gotten all that out of the way, Bob, you have any words of wisdom for our listeners?
Well, I also might add that Doreen is a grief...
I thought you were going to introduce her.
Well, yeah, specialist. So that's the reason that one of the reasons we're interviewing her tonight is to give us some insight into grief, especially, you know, during the holiday season. And as everybody has probably seen, this week saw, you know, the passing of, you know, first Carrie Fisher and then her mother, Debbie Reynolds. And I was reading the various reports and today and... evidently, while Debbie was making the funeral arrangements for her daughter, she, according to her son, was saying things like, you know, I miss Carrie so much, I want to be with her. And then, you know, after Debbie Reynolds passed, you know, her son said, you know, she's gone to be with Carrie. She loved taking care of her, and now she's gone to be with her. So, you know, it raises the question of, which I saw a couple articles on in the various media outlets, you know, can you die of a broken heart? And, of course, one of the articles that I read, you know, had a medical explanation for such things. And, you know, when you have incredible stress like that, you know, your body releases hormones that in some people... they have a syndrome for it, like a broken heart syndrome, and it could, most people, you know, of course, get over it, but then there is some that don't. So it raised a lot of questions. I mean, what do you think about, you know, people, a mother, daughter, or spouses that die within, you know, sometimes, you know, days of each other, or sometimes even hours?
We hear it very, very frequently. This is not a fluke. This is something that we hear over and over and over again. The only reason it's now in the forefront is because these are two high-profile celebrities, and so people are talking about it, but they're not understanding that this is something that occurs a lot. And I think that the medical industry of terming it a broken heart, while they're correct, I don't think they're fully understanding why they are correct. But from a nutritional and biological and hormonal standpoint, it is true. High stress releases hormones that actually put fat cells on in the same places that it's been determined creates heart disease and heart attacks. So all of that kind of makes sense. And maybe there is a bigger plan in the universe that says if you are so connected to this person, we have a mechanism built into us that will allow you to cross over together.
Yeah, I mean, it could. There are spiritual explanations, you know, that one could, you know, conjecture about. I mean, just what you said. Maybe, I mean, you could call it the universe, or you can call it God, or call it, you know, whatever you'd like. But maybe the universe hears you, you know, in some instances, like you just said, when you're desperate to be with your loved one, and grants you your wish, you know.
Right. And I think it's interesting you use the word hears you.
Yeah.
Because we talk about this often, and we've spoken about this on other segments, where there is a universal consciousness, and that when that comes into play, everything's connected. So hearing, is that the right word? Or that the overall sensation of pain. I mean, everybody was moved to an emotional level upon hearing of Carrie Fisher's passing.
Yeah, well, so you would also say, you know, we hear all the reports, like from near-death experiences, you know, where they're told that it's not their time and they have to
right.
come back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could say, well, maybe in this case, it was her time.
She wasn't sent back.
She wasn't sent back, and so facilitating her passing was natural, you know. Whether it's your time or it's not your time. People always talk about that. So, I mean, there are so many things that come into play. I kind of discount some of the simplistic explanations. Like, you know, people say, well, God granted her wish. I think it's more than...
And why doesn't God grant everybody else's wish? You know, it's like, oh, well, let's just pick which wishes we'd like
to
grant.
Yeah, you know, that I particularly...
Yeah, so let's dismiss that.
Yeah.
What, anything else?
Well, you know, just trying to think of all the spiritual explanations. Some might say, well, perhaps... when Debbie saw Carrie appeared to her after her passing and maybe beckoned her, knowing that it was her time.
Probably didn't even have to beckon her. She probably gave her according to Todd Fisher, his mom had a very peaceful passing. It wasn't any kind of a, you know, violent stroke or anything. She passed peacefully, which would be indicative of what people report after seeing somebody who has died,
yeah.
and getting that sense of peace and calm and love and that everything's okay. So,
well, you're certainly right that there was, I think just 2 weeks ago, there was a story in the paper about a couple, I think they were in England, but they basically died holding hands. One died and the other died, you know, less than an hour later. You know, it just, not only your mind, but they say that your hearts beat synchronistically, you know, with each other when you love somebody that much. And
consider this, too, because we're always trying to put things and explain things using what we know about the physical world and how the physical world works. We don't know how the non-physical world really works. But one thing we can consider as a possibility is that when Carrie crossed over or was crossing over, her consciousness already knew that her mom was coming with her.
Right.
So there's that whole synchronistic thing right there that we're not privy to because we're stuck here in the physical world.
Or maybe in a past life, the roles were reversed, and, you know, and Carrie was the mother. And when they both decided to incarnate again, this was the way the plan worked.
Well, what I'm really curious if they want to report back from the other side is, so how did Liz Taylor fit into all of this?
Right. All right, so we're going to go to a break. We come back. We're going to have Doreen Malloy. So stay with us. Be back in a few minutes.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.kamlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Doreen Malloy. Our sponsor is the Kamlak Center, and they could be found on the web at kamlak.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. Bob?
And Doreen Malloy, you may recognize her because she's the host of the Mediums and Messages show, radio show on Signs of Life Radio. Doreen's a certified medium of Forever Family Foundation, and she sits on the Foundation's Medium Advisory Board. She is also a certified research medium with the Winbridge Institute and a certified grief recovery specialist. Doreen's well-versed in effective tools that can be used in dealing with grief. She is also the author of Proof Positive, Metaphysical Wisdom. and she maintains a private practice in New Jersey and can be reached via her website, DoreenMalloy.com. Hello again, Doreen.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Very good. I'm glad to have you with us. And
yeah, it's great to be here.
I noticed, you may have noticed that I mentioned that you were a grief recovery specialist, and that may be a term that a lot of our listeners are not familiar with. So if you could take a moment to explain, you know, what that means and maybe what the grief recovery process entails.
Sure. The Grief Recovery Institute has been in California. They're located in California, although I think they're moving up the coast as we speak, so they're going to have a new location. But for people who are interested in their program, just look up the Grief Recovery Method on the Internet, and you'll get to their website right away. I try to tell people also what's different about grief recovery as opposed to, for instance, grief counseling or bereavement groups, which are all terrific things. I mean, these are all great tools for, you know, anyone who's going through that grieving process. But what I really liked about grief recovery is that you're able, through this program, to kind of participate in your own recovery process. And I think that's important for a lot of people. Anyone who's interested in the kind of work that they do, you can pick up, you can get this in any bookstore, and you can also order it from the web. You might want to pick up the Grief Recovery Handbook. It's by John James and Russell Friedman. It's a very easy read. It's not a big, long book. But what's really cool about it is they really address so many of the things, little exercises and actions that you can take where you can really participate in helping yourself heal, you know, through some of those actions. They also have an outreach program where they come around to a lot of major cities, but you have to kind of look on the website and just see what's on their calendar, you know, and what the dates are for that. And they actually do these outreach programs with weekend workshops with people. And those are very intensive.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's a great program.
Yeah,
really
and when you say it enables one to participate, you know, in the process, I guess you're referring to them being, you know, proactive in the recovery rather than being counseled or prescribed medication and things. Yeah.
Well, you know what it is. Here's what the difference is, Bob. It kind of when you get the Grief Recovery Handbook, that's like putting a tool in your toolbox. Okay. So you have something that you can refer to, and as I said, there's a lot of different exercises in there which are really, really great. Whereas if, say, for instance, you went for grief therapy, right, or grief counseling, those are really valuable also. I mean, these are you know, wonderful people who can really help us in many ways as well. But here's what some people say. Sometimes they say when they come back from a grief session, you know, they felt good while they were there, and then they come home and they're right back where they were before, and they don't know what to do on their own. So that's kind of one of the things that I really like about this program, because it really kind of helps you to help yourself.
Right.
You know?
You know, as I think back, you know, to the days that were my own, you know, loss was fresh, I mean, people would sometimes say to me, well, you know, the holidays must be really hard for you. And I remember some people, well, you know what? Every day sucks, so the holidays don't much to me, you know.
But I know
that a lot of people have a hard time with the holidays when they're bereaved, because it often acts as a trigger, you know, brings up, you know, memories of loved ones that are no longer here.
Right.
Are there things that those in grief can do to help, you know, prepare themselves for such times like holidays or anniversaries? I
think what happens, I don't know if there's a whole lot you can do to prepare yourself for it, but I think there are things that you can do when something comes along like the holidays that will trigger that grief and make it feel, you know, so much worse than it might have been the day before or the month before, the week before. So, you know, we've just come through one of the hardest times, right? Because we've had the major holidays. You know, we had Thanksgiving, we're having the end-of-year holidays, it's the new year, but oftentimes people forget. I mean, any kind of anniversary is going to trigger, that same type of response. If it's a wedding anniversary or an engagement anniversary or any type, if it's your birthday, it's going to trigger it. If it's your loved one's birthday who passed, that's going to trigger your grief. Any type of celebration that you may have attended together at one time in the past. So these things, of course, are going to happen throughout the year, you know. And so it isn't really just around the holiday time. And there are a couple of things that people can do, which I'll share with you now. There's two, like, really major things that you can do. The first thing is change your routine. So let's say it's we'll use the holidays. Let's say it's Thanksgiving, you know, and everyone's gone to Grandma's house every single year for Thanksgiving, and we all bring our special dish. Only Grandma passed away this year. You know, think about changing that up. Think about doing something different, maybe going to somebody else who can host that dinner, or maybe even going out this year, you know, but change the routine, because if you do the same routine that you've always done, it seems to make it, you know, worse by feeling that loss of that person is no longer there, okay? So changing your routine is really important. Another thing you can do is to find ways to celebrate someone's life. You know, when we lose somebody who's really special to us, it's normal and it's natural to mourn their death. This is what we do. This is what grief is all about. But we have to kind of remind ourselves at some point, though, that we don't want to just mourn their death. We also want to celebrate their life. We don't want their passing to cancel out all of the wonderful things that happened before when they were here and all of the great memories that we have, you know. So there's a whole bunch of ways that you can do that. Sometimes people put up websites, you know, and they'll put up photographs and or they'll do a tribute in music and things like that. I kind of like a Facebook page, actually, because other people can add to that. Other people can post photos, and other people can post stories and can do kind of little memorials. You know, but there's lots of things that you can do. What you want to remember to do, though, is to celebrate them. So whatever the holiday is, whatever the anniversary is, whatever the birthday is, remember to honor them by celebrating their life, you know, and that's a really important piece of this.
Yeah, I think that's very good advice. And you know, you find yourself in a dual role, which is unusual. I mean, you know, you conduct medium readings.
Right.
They're not therapy, but I'm sure that you and others recognize the therapeutic value. And then you have things, you know, tools like, you know, grief recovery that offers hands-on advice in dealing with grief. How do you balance the two? Are the two intertwined, or do you kind of...
Not really. I don't consider them to be really intertwined. But I'll tell you, I mean, now this is just from my own personal perspective, what led me to this. So here I am as a reader, as a medium, and I'm dealing with people who are in various stages of grief. Sometimes they come to me and they want to have a reading and they want to connect with their loved ones, but they're in such a deep state of grief that they can't even hear me yet. You know, they can't hear what it is that I might be saying to them. So what led me to this was many years ago when I first found this program and got involved in this and became certified in it. I did this because I needed to know, how should I speak to a griever? You know, how do I handle them in a compassionate, kind way? They're coming to me for insight. They're coming to me for, you know, some type of evidence that there is survival of consciousness, and yet, you know, they're in this deep state of grief. And listen, everybody on the planet has felt this, including me. There isn't a medium among us. We have lots of mediums in the foundation, right?
Right.
Every one of us have gone through our own losses and have felt grief. So
right.
it isn't an intellectual process. It's not about what we know, because we know there's an afterlife, right? We do this kind of work. It's about what we're feeling. This is an emotional process. So I was kind of led to this because I went to the bookstore and I said, you know, I want to educate myself about this. Let me pick up a few books, you know, just about grief and how to manage this. And I found the Grief Recovery Handbook. And as soon as I read this book, I knew it was so different from everything else. And that was when I began to pursue, you know, certification in the program. And it really helps a lot. It helps a lot because grievers come into me, and yes, we're going to do a session. Yes, I'm going to try my level best to connect with their loved ones on the other side, but I also need to know how to speak with them with gentleness, with compassion, and understand what it is they might be going through. And, you know, a lot of people don't know, I don't know if you're aware of this, how many people don't know how to speak to someone who is really grieving? You know, sometimes they say all the wrong things. I can share with you what the right thing is.
Sure.
It's very simple. If you know someone is in a deep state of grief, just say, you know, I heard about the death in your family. I can't imagine what this has been like for you. And that's the truest statement that you can make, because let's say, for instance, you lost your mom. And let's say, for instance, I lost my mom. Because I lost my mom doesn't mean that I understand what you're feeling or what you're going through. So if I were to say to you, wow, I know just how you feel, that really isn't a true statement. I may not know what your relationship with your mom was. It's really, it's almost like it's a better way to go to say, I really can't imagine what this has been like for you or what you're feeling right now. And sometimes giving somebody a hug or just holding their hand, that's the best thing you could do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I agree. And then I like the reason that you got into this, because we've also, we've often felt, and I'm sure you would agree, that I think it should be essential that practicing mediums should have some basic understanding about the nature of grief before they begin their career.
Right.
And it,
right.
All too many times we've come across mediums that they just don't know how to talk to people that are bereaved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Well, because actually that's a separate thing than it is for mediums to connect with people in the afterlife. That's part of our ability as a medium, right? Being able to really attune ourselves to the energy, that vibrational energy of someone who is in spirit. But that doesn't really help the person here who is going through that emotional process that we call grief. So,
right.
Yeah, you're right about that. It's so helpful for mediums to really kind of have a feel for, you know, how do I speak to somebody with compassion, and how do I understand, like, what they're going through as I connect with their loved one and try to bring through some kind of evidence, you know, that there is survival of consciousness. So, yeah, it's really kind of two different things.
Yeah. Do you find that those who believe in life after death do better in their grief than those who don't?
Well, not necessarily. No one probably believes this more than me, because I do it, okay? And I've done it many, many times. But when my mother died, I grieved just as much as anyone else did. So this is what I mean when I say it's not so much about what you know or how what your intellect tells you about this. It's really about what you feel emotionally. So a loss is a loss is a loss for any of us, you know, for all of us. We're all going to react the same way to that. And that's just, I think that's just part of being human.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that. But the advantage that somebody like you or somebody well-versed in evidence of life after death is that, you know, when you fall into those deep, you know, chasms of grief, you can pull yourself out because you've seen or experienced evidence that, and that gives you some hope that maybe
it does give us hope. Yeah, it does help, I guess, to a certain degree. But also keep this in mind, and you know, some of our listeners might not even realize this, but as a medium, I can't read for myself. I can't be objective enough to read for myself.
Right.
And so what we do as colleagues is we read for each other. And we try to, you know, bring forth some kind of information in connecting with one of our colleagues' loved ones, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I guess because of the work we do, yes, it helps to know that, you know, they're not in some big black void somewhere and that there is an afterlife, and also that our loved ones are together. you know, which gives me the hope that I know that when it's my time to go, I'm going to reconnect with them because they're already together on the other side, you know.
Right.
But it doesn't really make the emotional process easier.
Yeah. We notice this a lot, and I'm sure you do all the time. You know, when somebody, especially right after somebody suffers a loss of a friend or family member, some people say that they feel like they were let down or disillusioned by false promises that they thought were made by their religion. And yet others become more spiritual. They reason that there must be a reason for the loss. Is that something that you notice in your work? That they're...
All the time, yes. Yeah. All the time it shows up. Because, you know, I mean, listen, our beliefs are so personal to each of us. It's part of what I like to refer to as our historical conversation, right? The conversation that you grew up in. Whatever your parents taught you, whatever your church or temple or, you know, and any of our, you know, religious establishments have taught you, whatever you learned in school, whatever you learned from your communities, you know. And so, sometimes people are rebelling because they feel like something has been done to them, you know.
Yeah.
There's a saying, by the way, just so you know, the Grief Recovery Institute, just so you know how they describe grief, this is the way they say it. They say grief is the feeling of reaching out for someone who has always been there, only to find that when we need them one more time, they're no longer there. Okay, and so what they really teach about this is that grief, in large part, is really about undelivered communication. And this is what happens when someone dies. You know, we start to think about, I should have done this. I should have said that. What if I had only told him this, you know? And then we're left feeling like there's no way to deliver that. But there are ways to deliver it, you know, which is one of the things that I really like about this program. So I hope people will kind of just, you know, you could check out their website or just check out the Grief Recovery Handbook. There's a lot of really great and useful tools in there to help you with things just like what you described.
Yeah, and, you know, when we talk about the nature of grief, I mean, obviously, everybody, if you love somebody, you're going to grieve, you know, when they pass. But then therapists talk about, you know, this grief and then this complicated grief, you know, and complicated grief, you know, requires, you know, intervention. I mean, do you make a distinction between the two? I mean...
I could tell you this. Everyone will feel grief differently. Absolutely everyone. It's never going to be the same. So as I used as an example before, let's say you lost your mother and I lost my mother, right? So it's not going to be the same because we had unique relationships, perhaps, with our moms. So I may not understand what your relationship is. Well, how about this scenario? How about siblings? And they lose the same mom, okay? But maybe one sibling was really close to mom, and maybe the other one had a love-hate relationship with mom. Those two siblings, they're not going to understand each other's grief either because it's really a unique experience for each of us. And I think once people realize that, they begin to realize, wow, you know, I can't compare whatever it is that I have felt in grief with what somebody else might be feeling. You really don't understand what their relationship may have been. So it's really unique.
It's true. It makes me think because I know when we go to you know some of the foundation events, you know when I meet other parents who have lost children, I do feel a bond of some sort.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that you know in my mind. You know, I say to myself, you know, I'm one of the few that really can understand the way they're feeling.
Right.
But can I really? You know, I mean, cause
right.
you make me think. I mean, on one level I can, on another level, I think just in terms of the, you know, the devastation of, you know, and the magnitude of the loss. But of course, like you say, everybody has different kinds of relationship with their children. So
right.
And every loss can be interpreted different ways. Right. We're going to go to a break. We come back. We will have a lot more to talk about with Doreen Molloy. Doreen's website is Doreen Molloy, D-O-R-E-E-N, Molloy, M-O-L-L-O-Y.com. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Doreen Molloy. Our sponsor is the CAMLAC Center, and they can be found at the web at CAMLAC.com. That's K A M lak.com. We'd like to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website regularly for all events and announcements. That's foreverfamilyfoundation.org. The annual Holidays Past raffle drawing was December 23rd, and we thank everyone who participated in this annual fundraiser. The winners are posted on the website, and we ask that you please not contact the office. Winners are contacted directly with specific directions so as not to compromise the integrity of their readings. Our first webinar of the year is Spirit Talks and Spirit Walks, After-Death Communication in the Laboratory, presented by Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bocuzzi on February 15, 2017 at 9 p.m. Our annual grief retreat is open for super early bird registration on the website. We do recommend booking early, as last year the rooms at the retreat filled and some attendees had to stay off premises. If you are booking early, please keep in mind our no refund policy. The event only gets better each year, so plan to join us this July 14th through 16th. Be one of only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still with us. The weekend is all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Joe Peretta, and Gina Simone. They'll be working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. Lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Doreen Molloy, and we're talking about grief, the nature of grief, grief over the holidays, and maybe we can talk a little bit about some mediumship, although that's not what Doreen is the main thrust of our interview today. And Doreen, when we're talking about grief, a lot of people seem to say, well, the first thing they say, well, time heals all.
Mm-hmm.
I always found that a little bit offensive because, you know, the notion that
right.
your grief is completely healed is certainly not realistic. But what about as time goes on? How does that affect your grief? I mean, does the grief change, do you find, as the years go by?
Well, here's what I think happens with it. With the passage of time, we can get used to something. We can get used to grief. But grief doesn't, it's not going to go away in time on its own. Rather, it requires that, for instance, we take some actions that support our healing, okay? So just in other words, the passage of time doesn't change grief all by itself. And actually that you ask that is interesting because one of the things that the Grief Recovery Institute teaches is they have something called the six myths about grieving, and that's actually one of them. One of the myths is just give it time or the time heals all wounds. But it really doesn't because the passage of time doesn't do that, you know, in and of itself.
Right.
You know, the other ones, here are some of the other ones. There are six main ones that they teach about. Another one is don't feel bad, which is kind of like the same thing as saying don't feel what you feel, you know. And this is an instruction that starts sometimes very early in childhood where, you know, let's say, for instance, we have a young child at home and, you know, our child is crying about something and then we scold them and we say, you know, stop that crying. Which is the same thing as saying, don't feel what you're feeling. This can kind of apply to when we're grieving also. You know, and sometimes people actually say things like that because it makes them feel uncomfortable. But one of the things we always say is, these are your feelings. You own them. And it's so, so very important to be authentic about how you feel. Like, for instance, sometimes if someone is grieving, and you ask them how they're doing today, how many times will they say, oh, I'm fine? but they're anything but fine, you know?
Right.
But it's like an automatic reaction. So they're not really being authentic, you know, about what they feel. Another one of the myths is replace the loss. The problem with this is that it's not really possible to replace a loss. You know, if you lost, for instance, you lost your spouse or your partner through death, or even maybe even through divorce, okay, you can have a new relationship or a different relationship, but you can never really replace the relationship that you had. It doesn't work that way, you know.
Right.
So that's another one. Another one of the myths is grieve alone. And the problem with this one is the worst possible thing for a griever is isolation. You know, but sometimes, like, we feel bad for people. We'll say, oh, you know, let's just give her some space, you know, or let's let her rest. And resting is good because we do need to rest. We do need to sleep. But it's different than someone isolating and sitting in the corner of the room curled up in a ball. That's a different kind of isolation.
Right.
You know, so grievers really need to be with other people.
Yeah.
Another one of the myths is to be strong for others. You know, this is that whole stiff upper lip mentality.
Yeah.
You know, or we'll say to someone who's an adult, oh, come on, don't, you know, you don't want your kids to see you falling apart like this. But, you know, when you're grieving, you don't feel strong. You know, you don't feel good at all.
Right.
And so you have to really be authentic about that as well. And the most important thing about that is you don't really need to put on an act. Just feel the way you're feeling and be okay with it. And then finally, that was five of them. The last one, and probably everybody can relate to this one, is keep busy. Okay, people try to just stay busy. You know, they're going to work two jobs instead of one, or they're going to work their job and come home and just keep themselves really busy. But the busyness is really just a distraction. It really doesn't alter what you feel, and you're certainly going to get a lot more done, but at the end of the day, you're going to be exhausted, and your heart is still going to be broken because you're not really dealing with the grief. You know what I mean? You're just staying busy. So,
right.
Yeah, the time heals all wounds falls under that.
Yeah, I know the one, they're all great, you know, myths. And the one I relate to the most, I think, was the one that you just mentioned where people used to say, well, you don't have a choice. You have to be strong, you know. You have to be strong for the family.
Right.
And then I just wanted to punch him when they said that.
Yes. You know? Yeah, because you feel anything but that. You don't feel strong when you're grieving.
Right. So just to shift gears a little bit, getting to the mediumship, I mean, obviously mediums can provide a great deal of hope and of comfort, you know, when they connect to deceased loved ones. But have you come across people who, in a sense, become addicted to mediums? They continuously seek to maintain or reestablish communications, so they don't believe that they can do it on their own, so they're constantly, I mean, we come across people that go from medium to medium to medium.
Right, yeah, I have come across that as well. But you know what, I kind of find with the people that have come to me for readings that it's not so much that they're trying to alter the grief that they're feeling. I think they want, like, multiple readings, or maybe they want to see, you know, different mediums, because they're really fascinated with it. They are seeking answers, but it's coming from a place almost as if they are investigating this process and they need to know that it really does work and that their loved one's consciousness is still alive somewhere, you know.
Right.
It's more from that perspective, this is what I have encountered, than it is to easing grief that I will see people do this. And yes, you're right, they do this a lot. You know, they'll go from medium to medium, you know.
Yeah. Well, I've met people who will actually, you know, try to keep going back to the same medium because, you know, they perceive that medium as their only lifeline to their loved one.
Right, right.
You know, and I mean, I might mention to them, well, wouldn't it be more
convincing or reassuring if you were to go to a different medium and the medium mm-hmm. would also bring through evidence, you know. So how could you be sure that the medium is, that, you know, hasn't told you the same thing a couple of times? But people don't think in those terms, you know. They want that lifeline.
It's also who are they comfortable with, you know.
Yeah.
Like, say, for instance, I've had clients who were my clients and have come to me, you know, two or three times, but for other types of sessions, you know, and then all of a sudden they lose someone that they're close to. Now they want to come back to me and they're looking for a mediumship reading because they know me and they feel comfortable with me. So there's a little bit of that in there, but I tend to agree with you. I think it's a great idea for people to try having a reading if it's something you're really interested in. To try a reading with different mediums and see what kind of information comes through. Because, frankly, we're all different. You know, we get information sometimes in slightly different ways. Our interpretation process might be a little bit different. We all have the same abilities, but we may deliver that information a little bit differently or actually get different information. So I agree with you. I think it's a good idea to try different people, you know, different mediums.
And I mentioned, you know, people seeking mediumship readings because they don't think it's possible to have any kind of connection on their own. But yet, and I know you've written about it, I mean, we all do have, mm-hmm. you know, some intuitive ability that we can hone to try to foster our own communication. I mean, how important is meditation in this process?
It's critical, absolutely critical.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I tell people to try to do if they can. Just practice. I know it's really hard for some people because, you know, their minds go a million miles a minute and they have a lot on their minds and they're dealing with a lot in situations in real life. And so it's hard for them to kind of relax and get out of their own way, so to speak, enough so that they can relax into a meditation process. But, you know, it's like anything else. Practice makes perfect with that. And I always try to encourage people to try as best they can to meditate. And then once they know how to meditate, which is really only relaxation, right, a deep relaxation, then you can kind of use meditation as a tool to try to connect with some of these other streams of consciousness and see if you can connect on your own. I'm one of those people that believes everybody has the ability to connect with their own loved ones. It might not be for a long time. It could be for a few seconds, you know, but it can be really meaningful for people to kind of do this and feel their own loved ones on their own without the assistance of a medium, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the meditation piece is critical because there's only two ways to have a connection with someone in the afterlife. One is through meditation, and the other is through the dream state. There is no other way that I'm aware of.
Mm. So for a beginner, would you recommend like a guided meditation where they put in like a DVD and where they kind of talk you through it, or is it as simple as maybe lighting a candle and focusing?
Well, there's two different things at work. Guided meditations are great to help people learn how to meditate. But see, learning how to meditate is different than connecting with another stream of consciousness like the afterlife, right?
Right.
That's a separate thing. So using a guided meditation CD or, you know, any other sounds, like sometimes people like to use the sounds of nature and they hear waterfalls and they hear birds or they hear the ocean and that kind of helps them to get where they need to go. That's great. They can do that. But first, they have to learn to walk before they run. And the walking process is learning to meditate, learning to relax. Once you have that step down, even if you only do it like 5 or 10 minutes, that's great. That's perfect. You don't have to be a master at it.
Right.
Then you can get to the next step, which is using meditation as a tool to kind of connect with one of these other dimensions. And by the way, I give people the same advice, whether it's they want to connect with someone in the afterlife or maybe they want to connect with their own guides or higher wisdom. Uh-huh. Same process, different frequency.
Well, that's good advice.
Yeah.
And we have been talking with Doreen Malloy. Check out Doreen's website, DoreenMalloy.com. Check out her book, Proof Positive, Metaphysical Wisdom. It's an excellent book from an excellent medium.
And you can tune in to the Mediums and Messages radio show every third Thursday of the month. And if you're lucky enough to get through, get a medium reading. Doreen, thanks for joining us in this role. We really appreciate it. You gave a lot of good information, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Well, it was my great pleasure. I'm always happy to be here with you guys, and I just want to wish all of our listeners as well a very peaceful new year, full of blessings and joy and wherever we find that through healing. Okay? And I will see you guys back on Mediums and Messages.
Thank you, Doreen.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Alex Hanna, Veronica James, Rich LeBly, Lauren Ramnath, Vince Mattia, Isabel Ginsberg, Diane Archangel, James Rafferty, Donna Mello, Stanley Mullen, Marianne Piezga, Glenna Irwin, David Haith, Michael Tim, Marvin Ginsberg. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.